Gary Thompson. I'm here with Randy Abrams, and this is the Malware Report. Randy, I remember months ago hearing that that Estonia had been attacked in one of the first cyber attacks out there. Now I read that these attacks were launched by a student. Is that true?
Well, that's what's reported, actually. I don't actually have information, inside information, but that's what's being reported in the press. Initially, it was reported that Russians were attacking Estonia in a cyber attack, and it appears that a 20-year-old Estonian student has been identified as the person that escalated the situation and actually started the attacks.
Yikes. That's amazing that a single student could trigger events that really sort of create potential flashpoints between countries that are already having difficulties. Was he on his own, or how did this come about?
Well, according to the story, he was upset with an Estonian government decision regarding moving a Soviet statue.
Hmm.
However, you have to remember that when you're on the internet, you're not a 20-year-old student. You're anonymous. And how you say things and what you say will conjure different images in different people's minds. So rather than some punk saying something, this person could have said things that made him look very influential, very knowledgeable, very educated, and much older than his years.
Mm-hmm.
Think back to Nazi Germany and Hitler influencing people based upon his words and actions. And then you take away the ability to see a person, and that's no longer a function of your influence, but what they say exclusively is. You can see how people can do really terrible things in virtually complete anonymity on the internet.
Well, and that's another good reason in the story. I guess what I'd heard was that some of the prosecutors, and this young man was arrested, the prosecutors in Estonia didn't have any other suspects, but suggested the attacks might have been botnet-driven and launched from servers all over the globe, which means it's impossible to sort of state that a single individual was involved. What does that mean for the rest of us? I know I've got friends who say, I don't care if my computer becomes a botnet. It doesn't really bother me. This looks like a fairly serious problem that could affect everyone in ways not imagined before.
Oh, it is a very serious problem. The people that say, well, I don't care if my computer is part of a botnet, what they're literally saying is, I don't care if I bring critical systems in an emergency room down. Because botnets have actually been used to attack systems that brought down systems in hospitals.
Really?
Absolutely. The kid that was arrested in California a year or two ago, one of his spam bots, actually, he was selling his stuff for spam, had infected a hospital in the Seattle area and brought things down. I don't know that it was the emergency room per se, but these things affect hospitals. They affect nursing homes. They affect nonprofit organizations that are doing charitable work. People that don't care if they have a botnet on their computer really don't care about helping people.
Hmm. Yeah, I would think the potential for endangering the country is incredible. When one individual can wreak so much havoc. I read something else here on that same subject of denial of service, and I don't know whether botnets were involved here, but attacks on the Church of Scientology. Tell me about that particular attack.
Well, the Church of Scientology has been controversial for decades, and there are people that love it, people that hate it, and people that don't care about it, but regardless of your position on it, it isn't just the Church of Scientology that could be subject to a distributed denial of service attack, which means you've got a botnet trying to keep people from saying what they want to say. It's really an attack against freedom of speech, regardless of whether or not you agree with the intended victim.
Mm-hmm.
So it really brings an interesting question as to how unclaimable an anonymous internet is, because it's only through anonymity that people are able to pull off these kinds of attacks.
And it really does impair our ability to keep freedom of speech alive and well if somebody can sort of bring that down. That's certainly freedom of speech means we need to allow everybody to speak, including those we strongly disagree with. Is there anything we can do as individuals to try and stop the effects of botnets?
The primary things that we can do as individuals, if we aren't actually working in the security space, is to try to make sure that we're educated, try to make sure that we keep our computers safe, and then share information with other people to help them keep their computers safe. I mean, just one little tiny thing that isn't really botnet related, but that my wife does and other people I know do, is when they get these things saying, you know, this is the end of the world, the worst virus ever, or this person's a horrible thing, they go out to Snopes.com and they check it out and find out this is an urban myth. And whoever sent this junk to them, they write back and say, you know, this isn't true. You can go here and check it out and always check these things first. And so by sharing information about even little things like hoaxes, we're able to make a more educated community. So learning how to keep your computer safe and then sharing that information with other people is how we can make an impact.
That makes a lot of sense. And that's Snopes.com?
Yes.
How do you spell that?
S-N-O-P-E-S.
Okay. That's a bit of news I was not aware of, and I appreciate that. If people have additional questions for you on the whole botnet scenario, they can reach you at
AskESET@ESET.com.
Terrific. Well, thanks again, Randy, for being on the show. And this has been Gary Thompson and Randy Abrams for the Malware Report.